you get.
Hello and welcome to this web-only Techonomics interview. I'm Jason Middleton. Sometimes we have an embarrassment of riches when it comes to timely content. This is just such a situation, given the retrospective post-election mood everybody in America seems to be in. Silicon Valley is a prime example of that retrospection, as the tech sector, as an industry, and tech companies, as economic engines, examine what seems to be a self-imposed bubble of political ignorance. We spoke with Kevin Maney, a senior columnist at Newsweek and Newsweek.com, about Silicon Valley's role in a president-elect Trump environment. Mr. Maney has been writing on Silicon Valley's social impact for quite some time, and the Trump victory is emblematic of something pervasive within tech. Now, while we had Maney on the phone, we touched on Mark Zuckerberg's winning of the Business Person of the Year award and the prospects of augmented and virtual reality. Now, we didn't have time to broadcast these timely subjects, but things live forever on the internet, so here you go. Here's our chat with Newsweek's Kevin Maney.
Hi, this is Kevin Maney, and I'm the technology columnist for Newsweek.
Kevin, we're on the other side of Election Day. We have President-elect Trump. We don't have a lot of specifics yet. We have a lot of electioneering that seems to be fading a bit in the distance. But kind of how we got here in relation to and through the prism of Silicon Valley and even just tech in a 30,000-foot view kind of way is something that has been pinging on your radar even before the election. So I'm wondering what your feeling is right now.
It is a real simple equation, I think, here, is that Silicon Valley absolutely adores disruption, and most human beings don't. That's what we're all about here in Silicon Valley. I mean, companies are started with the very idea of disrupting some existing company or business or industry or whole sector, and those kinds of things happen, and people's lives get upended, and companies go out of business, and people lose jobs and all that, and we forget, and we just got reminded that the vast majority of people really don't like drastic change. It takes them a while to come along, and there's been so much disruption so fast out of this industry. I look at what happened as a big yell of stop
right.
from 56 million people. To some degree, I think it's as simple as that.
Right. Yeah. A definite pumping of the brakes, if you will.
Yeah. And, you know, I made this one comment in the column, and actually, it's funny. I've been in Silicon Valley the last couple of days, and a bunch of people have repeated it to me. And the line was, when a lumber company cuts down a forest, they have to go back and replant a tree for every tree they cut.
Mm-hmm.
Silicon Valley goes in and mows down jobs, and I've never heard from any company, any Google or Facebook or Uber or anybody ever say, we know we're doing this, so let's also implement some kind of a program to help those people or to like try to create new kinds of jobs that they can do or anything like that. Maybe we're being told that that's a blind spot.
Yes.
By the population out there.
Yeah.
And I have been, you know, you're right, Jason, you know, some of the things I've been writing for a while, kind of holding that mirror up to Silicon Valley lately and saying, you know, you have to be more aware. And I said this long before the election, you know, more aware of the broader social implications of the kinds of things that you do. And maybe this will force that change.
If Silicon Valley does anything unwell, it's internalized. What I'm saying is, like, you're right. Your perspective is something that I hope finds some ears and some listening. And, you know, it makes me think of two things. It makes me think of President Obama coming out and meeting with all the Silicon Valley leaders at that dinner party we all saw a tweeted picture of. And at that dinner, Steve Jobs turned to the president and said, I'm not bringing those jobs back. And that was it. That was the end of the conversation, as far as anybody knows. I mean, that was just, I'm just not bringing it back.
I mean, there's also a reality here that I'm guessing that, you know, that Trump and his people will run into, and that maybe, you know, when you talk about like the financial markets, like sort of for first panicking and then less so.
Right. Yeah.
And that is that, you know, some this stuff can't be stopped. You know, he makes promises of, I'm going to, you know, bring all these jobs back. Well, those jobs just don't, I mean, they don't exist anymore. And you're not going to bring those back. And there are a global economy and trade agreements that aren't going to just be shut down overnight because somebody says, you know, we're unhappy with globalism and all of that. It's just not going to happen. you know, so but at the edges, I mean, there are some things that could be done that might be damaging to the way the world works. And trade is the kinds of people who voted vehemently for Trump to, you know, shut down imports from China and all that kind of thing. I mean, I have a sense that they may not be thinking that through because, you know, they're buying products at Walmart that are way cheaper than anything they would have bought 10 years ago because of trade with China. And, you know, when we look at things like incomes being flat for the middle class, sometimes it doesn't take into account the fact that there's a lot of stuff that's actually, you know, price deflation of a lot of products. And,
right.
You know, another thing that I pointed out, you know, we've talked about before, Jason, is that, you know, you got to think like, you know, everybody's got an iPhone in their hand, and that iPhone has a whole bunch of stuff in it that's now free that used to cost a lot of money. And this is what technology does. It actually makes things more available for less, easier. And that's part of the raise that we've all gotten in America, whether it's been in wages or not. So, you know, I think that kind of got lost a little bit, too, in this election conversation.
I think what we'll do is we'll swing back after we all take a collective deep breath. We kind of see what shapes up with the growing rumors about the administration, who's going to go here and who's going to go there. And I'm interested to see how the CTO at the White House goes. It was Megan Smith for the Obamas and for right. President Obama. And I'm interested to see who the chief technology officer or the chief tweeter in chief. I don't know.
Tweeter in chief. That's got to be a new cabinet position, right?
Kevin, while we have you, Mark Zuckerberg was named Fortune Magazine's Business Person of the Year. I'm wondering what your initial takeaway is.
There's fewer more impactful business people in the world right now than Mark Zuckerberg. And you think about the broad you know, global reach that Facebook has, plus it's now, you know, it's owning WhatsApp, and it's got Oculus, so it's making people play in VR, and mm-hmm. it's one of the leading companies in artificial intelligence and all these things that are looking towards the future. And so, you know, I mean, maybe he is, in a sense, he's our next Steve Jobs. And that'll go on for a long time. Now, that said, since we are put these two pieces together, we are talking about the election and we're talking about Zuckerberg and his role. And there's probably nobody who could have more of an impact on the political conversation and making it better than Mark Zuckerberg, because we're all getting our, you know, we're all stuck in our little, politically same vortexes inside of Facebook, and the news is all coming through that these days. I have no doubt that that contributed to the fact that we are such a divided country, but also contributed to the fact that, the liberal side of the country had no idea that the Trump support was so great, because we just didn't hear it or see it because we're looking at things through these social media silos.
Right.
And so I would hope that Mark Zuckerberg is looking at what happened and really giving it a long think about what Facebook could do to change it. And if he's the business person of the year, I hope he, you know, takes that seriously and maybe helps change the conversation.
I think we may have underappreciated Mark Zuckerberg as a business person, because we still are kind of, I don't know, I think that I'm a little bit blown away would not be overboard when it comes to Facebook and its effect on so many categories. And that kind of goes back towards your most recent book. You mentioned Oculus and VR. Is that a category disruptor, as you've, you discussed in your most recent book, and specifically Steve Jobs and Apple?
I'm not sure we know yet what VR is going to be. There's a Philip Rosedale is the guy who started Second Life, and now he's got a VR company, and he's been one of the most astute observers about what's going on in the space. And he and I were talking recently about, he believes that VR as it is today is the equivalent of the CD-ROM. Those were sort of self-enclosed, you know, you put right. this game in your computer and you play this game, but it didn't go anywhere. If you wanted to play another game, you had to pop it out and put another CD-ROM in.
Right.
And that's the way VR works right now. What he sees is that essentially an internet of virtual reality, so that you get into a VR space, it's like going on the internet, and you can literally wander from, you know, Amazon's VR store to a Minecraft VR game you're just basically wandering through these things in an alternate world. And if that develops that way, it's actually the new internet. I mean, it's a new category of internet, a completely 3D new space to live and play and work in. And that could be really interesting going forward.
Yeah, we'll have to keep an eye on that. Well, and we'll check in with you in a few weeks or a couple of months maybe on this one as well. Kevin, thank you so much for your time today.
Great. Thanks, Jason. Appreciate it.
That was Kevin Maney, a senior columnist at Newsweek and Newsweek.com. Mr. Maney has written several books. His most recent must-read is Play Bigger, How Pirates, Dreamers, and Innovators Create and Dominate Markets. Now, you may think of Steve Jobs when hearing that title, but for another glaring example, think Amazon. Mr. Maney can also be found on Twitter at KManey, K-M-A-N-E-Y. Now, please check two places for past segments, chats, interviews, and music playlists for Techonomics. They're at kgoradio.com/Techonomics or facebook.com/Techonomics Radio. We broadcast on Sundays at noon on the Bay Area's KGO 810 AM as well. For producer Liana Wilcox and executive producer Mike Anthony, I'm Jason Middleton. Please come on back soon.